This episode of Boat Briefing is sponsored by Amico & Co. Based in Genoa, at the heart of the Mediterranean, Amico & Co. is a family-owned refit yard with more than two centuries of maritime heritage behind it. Today, the yard is widely recognised for its work on large yachts, offering a full-service refit capability delivered largely through its own in-house teams, from paint and engineering to complex conversions and structural projects. Rooted in one of Europe's great historic port cities, Amico combines tradition, technical depth, and long-term thinking, making it a trusted partner for owners, captains, and shipyards alike.
Hello, and welcome once again to Boat Briefing. This week, I flew out to Milan to sit down with Anna Nash, the president of Explorer Journeys, as she tells us some news about the brand and Explorer 3, which is the next ship in their growing fleet and planned to set sail this summer, along with some other news that they've and various bits they have going on. Explorer Journeys is a brand that's becoming increasingly prevalent in our world. They're on an interesting mission to change the perception of cruise, which historically has been met with some resistance. And we have a little chat about that, along with various other bits and pieces. You may also know the name through its links to Formula One, as they've had quite a big presence in Monaco, and they plan to do the same this year during the June Monaco Grand Prix. So we'll get right to it, but it was a pleasure to chat with Anna and hear about how they're moving forward in this market. So this is very exciting. We're actually here in Milan with Explorer Journeys. And I'm sitting with the wonderful Anna Nash, the president of Explorer Journeys. And can you tell us a little bit about why we're here in Milan?
Well, firstly, thank you for having me. It's a delight to be in sunny Milan. We're here to really kick off, I would say, the launch phase in terms of our news for Explorer 3, whereby she takes to the waters at the end of July this year. So this is really the kickoff for that exciting wave of information.
Very exciting. So I think just firstly, for anyone listening who isn't familiar with Explorer Journeys, could you tell us a little bit about it and why it was created?
Absolutely. So for those that don't know, Explorer Journeys is a relative newcomer, let's just say, to the waters. We like to talk about ocean travel rather than cruise. So Explorer Journeys was created to really redefine ocean travel for a new generation of discerning travelers. It is rooted in our family. We're a family-owned brand, the Aponte Vargo family's deep maritime heritage, and really our journeys and our guest experiences designed around space, time, and emotional connection. And at the heart of it, which I can talk to you more about later, lies our philosophy, the ocean state of mind.
Amazing. So very fitting for us.
Indeed.
Yeah. So what about you? When did you join the company?
I joined, it seems to have flown by actually, but I joined in September 2024, which for me and the brand, I suppose, was a pivotal moment as the brand really moved from launch to its next phase of growth and refinement. So we have two ships currently sailing, Explorer 1 and Explorer 2. I joined, I think, 12 days before Explorer 2 took to the waters. And we'll have a full fleet of six by the end of 2028. So we've got a very bold vision. We're on time and we're absolutely moving in the right direction.
Incredible. But you have always been in hospitality yourself. And I'm right in saying that you came from Amman, is that correct?
That's right, yes. But actually, so my last, I've been in ultra-luxury hospitality for 25 years. And my last role was indeed with Amman. I was there for over a decade. But I think in a way, many things come full circle. And maybe my career path is one of those, in the sense that when I first started after university, my first role was with Orient Express, which is now Belmond. Wow. So I was part of their trains and cruises team. So I think for me, I've always loved the rhythm, the sense of adventure that a journey brings, perhaps more than a hotel brings. Mm. So I love that excitement. But I suppose for me, coming from land to ocean was really about the opportunity for me to bring a hotelier's mindset to the ocean, creating something intuitive, something calm and very personal. I actually grew up on the water.
Did you?
As a young child in Devon.
Oh, did you?
I crossed the River Dart every day to go to school. I used to pass Agatha Christie's house, which was also another full circle moment with Orient Express, but that's another story. So water, it was omnipresent from a very, very young age. And I suppose for me, the sea adds that emotional dimension that land-based hospitality can't replicate. As I said, it's that sense of adventure. But I think there's something magical about the light on the water, the space that it gives you, the horizon, that never-ending horizon. I suppose your mind can drift and you can really think what lies ahead and those dreams and visions that perhaps the horizon makes you think of.
Amazing. So when you joined, is there anything that you thought was fundamentally missing from luxury cruise? I'm conscious of using the word luxury cruising when it's sort of, is there another way that you would describe?
Well, I would say, first of all, we very much see ourselves as a floating hotel whose address is the ocean. So there's many elements that are very, very similar to land-based hospitality. I suppose there's many elements that are also very different. So I think for me, I touched on it earlier, I suppose, the way the water, the sea, that sense of freedom makes you feel, it's a sense of ease. And I suppose on board our ships and the journeys that we provide, there's less structure, less noise, perhaps more freedom than you would get in a static hotel. We remove all the frictions of everyday life because the ship, in a way, is your destination. So you're not running around across a city chasing for a taxi or stuck in traffic. You know, it all happens on the ship. So we wanted to remove that friction, I suppose, and allow our guests to live and breathe on board as if they would in a private residence. So a very simple, frictionless, seamless way of being, and time for once is on your side.
Amazing. And how do you think that differs from other brands that either the land-based properties that are moving on to sea offerings or luxury yachts like that, or from other high-end cruise offerings?
I mean, firstly, I absolutely welcome those hotel brands taking to the waters because I really think that they'll help make ocean travel relevant and will help us market to that next generation that really open-minded and really would consider taking a journey on the seas for their vacation. I suppose for us, you know, we're part of a family brand. We're actually part of the world's largest shipping organization, MSC. So we've got deep-rooted history, over 300 years of maritime heritage. We share a lot of services with our much larger sister, MSC Cruises. So we've really got the backbone and the stability and the maritime know-how. So I, for example, have really been able to focus on the innovation and the guest experience. And I think that's definitely a USP and a strength that we have as a business. We're also family-owned, which gives us the opportunity to make decisions incredibly quickly. We hear feedback, we hear trends or, you know, reoccurring themes from our guests. We can immediately change and make sure that we're really staying relevant to their needs and wants. And I suppose if I look at other brands out, more traditional legacy cruise brands, let's just say, you know, we're very different. And I think as a new brand, we've really, from the very beginning, from the offset, being able to think about how we want our guests to feel, how they want to feel, not perhaps how a cruise should look. So we've taken it in the other direction. And we've really looked at space, light, flow, and time as luxuries. And we've really based the experience around that. And cuisine is another area that we've very heavily focused on because we know that that's something that our guests want to have, incredibly high quality, delicious food and a variety of choice. And we all know that at the end of the day, you want to sit around a table and have that convivial conversation. So it's really being able to go slowly with consideration and thought, but be prepared to adapt along the way.
Just off the top of your head, is there a favorite restaurant or thing that you love on board?
Well, that's hard. Yes, I'd say Sakura, which is our Pan-Asian restaurant. And for anyone that knows me, they know I love Asia. It's one of my true favorite places. I try and go back to, you know, places, destinations like Tokyo, for example, once a year. And I think that influence has really stayed with me from my time at Amman. But within Sakura, the design is exceptional. It feels like a beautiful tea house in Kyoto. It's got a gorgeous Sakura blossom ceiling, an open kitchen, and you can just see the attention to detail from our teams, the precision and the care that they give as well. So definitely that's one of my favorite places on board.
Amazing. Mm. Sounds incredible.
Yeah.
And how many restaurants would be on board?
We have 6 in total, and we have 12 bars and lounges. So we have quite a variety. And as I said, there's something for everyone. And there's, you know, we were really built around the variety of choice, but also finding spaces that guests could retreat to and have total solitude if they so want. So there's a very large space to guest ratio that really sets us apart as well.
Mm. I also saw on your website something that you tried to emphasize is the guest to staff ratio.
Correct.
Or staff to group ratio. Is that?
Yeah.
And do you feel that that's something that you can, I don't know, is that unusual in that space? Or
we do have a high staff to guest ratio, and it's finding that perfect balance so that guests feel like they're not overtrodden, let's just say, by staff, but also they're there as and when they're needed, but also that they're, you know, our teams are well-trained to really, I suppose, anticipate our guests' needs and perhaps think about maybe what they don't need before a guest knows it. So it's that anticipatory service that we really are training our teams to excel at.
Yeah. And I guess, course, that's the same with yachting.
Yes, so totally. But also delivered for me with a smile. And that's one of the real elements that sets us apart from land-based hospitality. And I'm generalizing here somewhat, but, you know, our guests are on board normally for a minimum of 7 nights, often in a land-based hotel where we are now. I'm here for 2 nights. Yes, I'm here on business. But often a hotel stay, especially in cities, is relatively short. So the hotel team members never really get to understand you as a person. They never really get to delve into your likes and your dislikes and your rhythm. And I think when we've got guests on board for as long as we do, you really get to understand what they're looking for and how we can really over exceed their expectations and perhaps deliver things that they didn't know they wanted. And that's where the real personal side of hospitality has its true shining light.
And I always think that when you do get that and it's done beautifully, there's no better feeling. It's just this incredible thing that only a few places in the world really get it right. So,
and that's what really makes you want to go back. That's what makes you hungry to feel like that again. And as I said at the beginning, you know, hospitality is really a feeling. It's really understanding every guest as an individual and how you can really help them switch off from their woes and worries of everyday life and allow them to relax.
Amazing. So historically, among ultra-high net worth travellers, there has been some resistance to cruise. How are you encouraging them to reconsider that?
Well, I'd say that's my joyful challenge, and I'm really eager to change that perception. And we can actually see it happening already. And I think for me, coming from Amman, coming from the land to the ocean, I cruised with my husband many, many times before Explorer was even on the horizon. And I knew, you know, firsthand the perception. And I remember my friend saying, gosh, you're far too young to go on a cruise. And what are you doing? And, you know, for me, it was a wonderful way to make the best use of our vacation time, but see many places at once. But I think for me, you know, changing this perception is a reality. And it's really just trying to enable potential future guests to really understand the benefits, you know, the value for investment, because we are an all-inclusive proposition. The value for time more than anything, because as I said earlier, on the ship, everything happens. You know, a week's vacation feels a lot longer because you're grounded in one place. Yes, we move you to the next destination, but you haven't got all those logistics of packing and unpacking and going back to the airport. But I think more than anything, it's really about, as a busy professional, the fact that we move you, the fact that the ship is always moving, perhaps gives our guests that chance to press pause, to give themselves permission to pause. And I think that's what we all need. And I think it's talking in those ways, bringing the emotion to what we're delivering will definitely help us in continuing to change that perception.
Mm, amazing. So is there anything that guests are surprised to learn while they're on board, or something new? Are people generally kind of, maybe those that weren't so keen on the idea of a cruise come back and think, well, actually, this is amazing?
I mean, it depends if they're existing sailors, let's just say, or first-time sailors. But I would say, from the guests I speak to, that they're often surprised by the sense of freedom. And going back to perceptions, you know, there is this feeling that it's a very rigid schedule and that everything is very hurried and there's queues to get around. None of that exists, especially with us. So I think the sense of freedom, there is no pressure. The day is yours. You can do with it as you will. You know, we move you. We'll take you to a new destination every day, apart from the sea day. And we're in port for a longer amount of time than typically most ships would be. So you'd have from 8 a.m. till 8 or 9 p.m. to explore a destination in full at leisure without feeling hurried. So I suppose it's sense of freedom, no pressure, and feeling that time is suddenly on their side.
Mm. So what do you think is the biggest cultural adjustment for guests joining from hotels or yachts?
I'd say the biggest cultural adjustment would just be really understanding how the ship works. I think there's this incredible awe and fascination that, my goodness, there's this magnificent hotel, but it floats and it moves me to a new mm-hmm. destination every day. So I think there's that side of things. But I think also there's a wonderful feeling on board, this community with our team, our hosts on board, that you don't find in a hotel. And I think that's what guests find really captivating, that they can sense they're part of something, part of a movement. So I think that's probably the most eye-opening moment for our guests that I've certainly heard of.
Sounds amazing. And for you, what's your favorite element on board?
Well, element or feeling, I think for me, when I go back, let's turn it this way, to ocean state of mind. Mm. It's really our inner philosophy, and it's how we want you to feel on board. So your ocean state of mind could be, most possibly will be, very different to mine. So yours might be running on the treadmill, seeing the horizon just as the sun rises at 7 a.m. in the morning. For me, my ocean state of mind is with my first morning coffee, my book, on my private terrace.
I think mine's more in line with yours.
Look at me like I've got a treadmill.
There you go.
Maybe not. So it's my moment is, you know, that moment of calmness when I've, you know, looking at the next destination, I can see it on the horizon. I've got a day filled with adventure. So it's that feeling of, what does the day hold? What am I going to make of my day? Because there's boundless opportunities aboard the ship.
That sounds amazing. So looking forward, what are you most excited about with the launches of the upcoming ships?
For me, it's seeing how our brand continues to mature and evolve. And that's the most exciting thing, to be part of a brand in its very, very early stages. Every week we have something new happening. You know, here we are today, we're on the cusp of a big announcement regarding Explorer 3. You know, towards the end of last year, we launched our loyalty program. Just before then, we announced Yannick Sinner as our global brand ambassador. So we have so much new news as a brand, we don't know what to do with it. So I think that's the most exciting thing. And you can feel this palpable energy on the ship and in our HQs and our offices around the world, that, you know, my team really feel like they're part of this movement, this incredibly exciting brand that is doing something that nobody has ever done before. Amazing. So I think for me, that's what we're all most excited about. But of course, seeing us deliver the family vision mm-hmm. of redefining ocean travel and seeing the full fleet of six ships.
It's a hell of a
sailing.
Lot.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. I don't think, has there been another company that's done that from start to finish? I mean, in such a short space of time.
There have been other brands that have definitely launched perhaps that number of ships in a similar amount of time. But I think to create a brand from scratch, to really create a new vision, to redefine the very notion of cruising. No, I'd say we're very much on a bold, we're charting a new course, let's just say. And I think it really paves an exciting path for our business, our segment of ocean travel in general.
Amazing. And finally, 5 years from now, what would success look like for Explorer Journeys?
I think seeing the six ships sailing together, perhaps that would be
a wonderful
sight to see. No, but I think for me is really continuing to build the team. We're growing our team also as we go through this exponential growth as a brand, and continuing to grow this incredible culture that we have internally, the sense of pride, the sense of achievement, and seeing my team thrive and grow and develop onshore, but of course on the ships too, and really giving back our guests time that they don't have when they travel on land. That to me is success.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for your time, and we're very excited about later when you're going to take to the stage and tell us a little bit about Explorer 3. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It's lovely to see you.
Thank you for listening to this week's Boat Briefing. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll see you next time.